We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Yeah, no intros. No intro since 2019.
Do we need to talk about the Euros? I feel like that's old news.
It's very old news at this point, I'd say.
It probably is, yeah.
Italy won, England lost.
Yeah.
And they're a bunch of racists.
Okay. We should do a preview for the Premier League.
Yeah.
Because the next time we do one of these, it'll have started.
Yeah, opening weekend. Exciting.
Do we want to talk about each team? Do we want to talk the newly promoted teams?
Let's talk about Arsenal.
Let's definitely talk about Arsenal. Definitely about Liverpool.
And definitely about Palace.
And definitely about United.
We can talk about Palace, definitely, and United.
Yeah.
We'll do predictions, like top fours, bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, because it's getting to that time of the year where we have to kind of put our neck on the line, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like last year, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Got some right, got some wrong.
Some wrong.
Who are you referring to?
Well, Hanley got Sheffield United getting relegated extremely correct.
Bang on.
Thank you.
Arsenal top four was... unfortunately, incorrect by myself.
It was half right. They finished 8.
It's true. Yeah, that's quick maths. You know, so we got... another thing I wanted us to do, but it doesn't have to be right now. It might be better when the games actually start.
Mm-hmm.
But the kits, some of the kits this year are beautiful.
Some are questionable.
Okay.
What do you think of the Arsenal one? It looks like Ajax.
The away one.
The home one.
Oh, the home one. I don't know. It reminds me of like the Bergkamp era.
It does.
You know.
I quite like it.
Yeah, and that's how I always remember Arsenal anyway. With that band.
Exactly. Stick a JVC logo on it.
That's it. Or Sega.
Or Sega or Dreamcast.
Dreamcast. Yeah, I love that gold Dreamcast.
Yes. I
just remember Sylvain Wiltord. I think he scored the winner against Old Trafford, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Won the league there.
Yeah, childhood memories, yeah. So I think we should look at kits too, because there are some good kits.
Okay.
And there's definitely like an increased focus by clubs to make sure that there are good kits now.
It's all about looking good.
It's all about looking good, yeah, because they're turning football shirts from being like, you know, the big old baggy things that people would only wear for playing sport for actually for fashion now.
Exactly, I know.
You've seen the blackout kits, right?
Everything
is black. They're really smart.
They're like cool.
Yeah, Dortmund had a famous one.
The steel and coal version, I think they call it.
Yeah. Just black.
Yeah. It's like, this reflects the Ruhr Valley's industrial heritage. And you're like, does it?
Yeah. And that's why it's 89 euros, is it?
Yeah. Reflecting our working class values.
Yeah, that's it. By exploiting most of the world. Uh-huh. Anyway, but yeah, lots to talk about. Really exciting season ahead. I'm actually really looking forward to this. Big transfers. Lots of big transfers. Either happened, potentially happening. Ben White being a massive one. Conor Gallagher today from Palace.
Yeah.
And some others. And potentially...
Man United spending a few hundred million on new players.
Yeah, that's it. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's decided that, you know, managing a team is too tough.
He's not up to it.
Nah, it didn't work out for him.
It didn't work out for him. He's not well.
He's out of sorts.
His team's not well.
Went to Manchester. Didn't work out for him. Yeah, so United, big signings too. Potentially making shapes for the title this year.
Sure, look. Sancho, you know, he couldn't even get in the England team ahead of Saka. Varane has been finished for about 4 years now. Who else did he sign?
That's it, isn't it?
They re-signed Cavani, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Old Man River.
Yeah.
I do think that... I don't agree with it, but I've seen it enough to be like, well, you got to listen to it, is that people are saying that Sancho will be this year's Werner. Is that harsh?
I could see it.
Yeah, big change.
Am I crazy? Because I think as bad as Werner has been, he's not that bad.
No.
That... he was offside 200 million times last season, and there are very narrow calls.
Yeah.
I mean, a blow of the wind, and he's onside in like half of those situations, and he's got 20 goals a season.
Yeah, I think it kind of went against him too, in a way that, you know, despite my respect and admiration for him, you know, it was a bit turbulent under Frank Lampard when he joined. So he didn't really have a clean run of it. And I felt that once Tuchel came in, he got a bit more settled.
Yeah.
And I think he's been stewing the whole summer now, ready to bang some goals in, change some names.
On the other hand, Havertz, which people have been like, he scored the winning goal in the Champions League final. He was worth the money. I'm like, this guy was shocking all season.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll probably be shocking next season. And they only won the Champions League by the rub of the green. They're not a good team. He's not a good manager. They'll be lucky to finish top six.
All right, that's the first big call of the podcast.
All right.
We're back. We're back. We had a little break. We stewed on this stuff. Any hot takes this summer, Adrian?
Any hot takes? You know, I'd be very positive from a Liverpool perspective, considering their disastrous season last season, and they still finished fourth.
Can only get better, right?
But I'm not convinced Van Dijk will ever be the player he was.
When is he back?
He played 20 minutes the other day, and he got minced by Jovetic. Remember him?
Yeah.
He got rinsed by him. He ended up on his arse. It was only a friendly, and it was like his first game back in 9 months. But I think people expect Gomez Van Dijk to be back to normal, and I don't, it might never happen.
No, I don't think so either. Like, you got to think that his game was the strength and the speed.
Yeah.
You come back from an injury, he hasn't got the speed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was probably the best centre back I've ever seen in my life. When he was on, when he was at top form, I was like, people going on about him as like best centre back of the 2010s, I was like, pump the brakes there now first. He's had like one good season, but it was like the best season I've ever seen from a centre back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if he's never the same player, I will remember him for that, if nothing else. And I will stand up for him in the course of time when people say he's overrated or whatever. But at the same time, he only really had one great season.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good baller, but like injuries, especially at his age too. I mean, I'm not saying he's old, but he's not spring chicken either. He's
30.
Yeah. He's done the rounds. So it's hard to recover from, and you're out for 9 months.
This fella in the fucking Scottish League for years.
Yeah.
Honing his craft.
I know.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, tyranny.
It's just annoying because it wasn't like just one of these things. You know the way sometimes they tear something and it's like, oh, you just turned wrong. It was literally Pickford.
Pickford went in.
Dick. Minced him.
Oh, yeah, so annoying. Like
Pickford, who went from villain to hero then this summer.
Yeah.
You know, the bangs.
Yeah, the bangs. Man. He actually played a few good games, which is surprising considering his name is Jordan Pickford and he's not a good player.
Somehow he came out looking okay from the Euros.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that I've always said Everton will never take the next step as long as Jordan Pickford is in goal for them.
They still won't, though. I mean, they got Rafa Benitez in and they've signed the likes of Townsend, which I like Andros Townsend, but like
Damari Gray.
I mean, if ex-Palace and ex-Burnley players are your prime signings,
I mean, yeah, remember last season, Ancelotti at the wheel, these lads,
he left them high and dry. I love
he fucked straight off, like. The second he got the chance, the rope was dropped, he was like, I'm out of here.
I bet he could not wait. And that's an interesting one too. Rafa Benitez, ex-Liverpool manager.
I know.
A lot of hate. Yeah. We're only starting to see fans back in. You reckon he's going to get a frosty reception?
Yeah.
Surely.
He will.
He will, for sure.
Everton don't get enough grief about the money they've spent.
Thank you.
And what they've done. And they start the season looking brilliant, like their top four in like October.
Yeah.
Where did they finish that season? 10th or some shit? They didn't even finish top half.
They were below Arsenal, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, and that's what really annoys me, is that if you look, I know Arsenal have made some bad signings in terms of, like, the amount of money spent. Like,
hey.
You look at the top 10 signings for Arsenal.
Like who?
It's like Pepe, Aubameyang, Xhaka was like 50 million
or something. He was not 50, he was like 35.
Okay, 35 million. But, like, the list of the top 10 signings for Arsenal in recent history have been pretty crap, considering how astute Wenger was at almost not signing anyone, but it's, you know, Arsenal will get the stick for underperforming.
Mustafi was a bad one.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
Yeah.
He was.
And like, Arsenal will get the stick for underperforming. Everton will nearly match them for transfer fees and, like, prestigious players every season.
Bolasie.
Hey, don't disrespect the boy. He's coming back to Palace too. Looks like. On a free transfer, yeah. We had wonderful years with them.
The best, sure.
Yeah, but I get what you mean. Iwobi. Joshua King.
Yeah, okay.
And they still, like, they're still playing Seamus Coleman like it's 2008. Like, yeah, I don't know. All you need is Leighton Baines to come back. But, yeah, anyway, Everton aren't up to scratch. And I don't think Rafa Benitez is going to work miracles with them. Team that are doing hilariously currently is Newcastle. Have you seen that they're like all their preseason friendlies are against about League One, League Two teams, and they're just not winning. I know you can't read too much into friendlies, but Newcastle fans are quite vocal about being bigger than they currently are. And I mean, it's hard to, they must be finding it hard to justify that.
But Steve Bruce is a shit manager, we can all agree.
Yes, and, I think so.
And he was hanging on by the skin of his teeth last season, and he'd get a good win against someone, and it would be fucking pumping the fist, and all the doubters proved wrong, and then he'd, I mean, where did they finish?
Again.
No one even cares. Get them relegated, I'd say.
I actually think that
I just don't care.
And this might be a nice little segue into, you know, an area, in a team that I'm looking to talk about, but The Palace got like written off as soon as Hodgson left. It was like fodder. They're down. It just seems like Newcastle seem to just kind of like swan away at being shite, and no one's brave enough to be like, nah, they actually are a championship team. So,
people are sympathetic to Newcastle more so than Palace, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
The perception of Newcastle as a big team in waiting. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, it'll be their day. They deserve it or something.
Even though, and that's it. And even though there's like so many other teams that have won things or reached more finals or have, I don't know, more prestigious players than Newcastle in the last 50 years, but they ride on the fucking Alan Shearer wave still.
Somehow. Yeah, it is Alan Shearer.
Pretty much.
It's all Alan Shearer. It's
literally that shirt with the
Newcastle Brown Ale.
The Brown Ale, yeah. So everyone is just like, oh, success. Even though they fucking bottled that season.
They did. And Shearer bottled his career.
His whole career, yeah. All this, I'll never leave, I'll stay with my boyhood club. Piss off and join Ferguson and win something.
Mm-hmm. You fucking Teddy Sheringham and Andy Cole. Would you rather have had Andy Cole's career or Alan Shearer's career?
Well, Andy Cole was at Newcastle too, with him, wasn't he?
I think so.
And there's further. Well, Andy Cole, yeah, absolutely. Sorry. You can look back teary-eyed and say, well, one... Like Zaha too, right? We're going to look back at, in 10 years' time and be like, you know what, Zaha, he stayed at Palace, fair play to him. And like, as a Palace fan, I love it. But he could have gone somewhere to win a trophy. Just like Shearer could go somewhere and won something.
Yeah. I mean, he did try.
He tried.
Didn't work out for him.
Didn't work out for him.
that loan at Cardiff just didn't work out for him.
He went to South London, made a lot of money, wanted to go to Islington.
Yeah. I don't know, did he actually ever really want to go to Arsenal? But actually, with the amount of signings that Palace are making, I'm bricking it that like Zaha's deal was done and we're just spending the money in advance.
So who... Because you keep saying they've signed this guy, this guy, this guy.
Yeah.
I have no idea who any of them are. You know this.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, where are they from? Give us a... Impress us.
The garage.
Come on, so
sell it to us.
I'm going to get the names wrong.
Okay, great.
But you've got... Yeah, I know. You've got the people the biggest signings are the ones we didn't re-sign. We've shown that you can clear house and rebuild.
So the best signing you made was not re-signing. So
was letting players out the door.
Go. Yes, because I'm going to forget some names here. Okay. But Wickham, Sacco, Patrick Van Aanholt, Scott Dan.
Are they all gone?
They're all gone. Jesus. But there's another name or two that I'm forgetting that you'll be like, oh yeah. James McCarthy, who accounted for something like 26% of our minutes last season, but accounted for 60% of our wages last season. Okay. So to clear them out, and we're going young, we've got a new manager in, Patrick Vieira, knows how to win a Premier League. Knows how to win a World Cup.
Yeah.
Knows how to win a Euros. That's what I'll start with.
You have your Ole.
Fuck.
Oh no.
Oh no. How do I get myself out of this? No. Yeah, so he's come on board and there's a budget there because we've converted wages to actual money.
Mm-hmm. They adjusted the slider.
They did, yeah. clicked left a few times, and it seems as if Patrick Vieira, first and foremost, before players, brought in staff, which were like assistant head of youth development from PSG, someone youth coach he had at Nice, lots of youth coaches from when he was in the Man City Academy. Do you remember when he was the under-23s coach there or whatever? So he's built this little like unit that's used to working with young players.
Yeah,
we've gone from being the oldest team to now being one of the youngest team in the league. We signed under 17 World Cup winner. I know under 17, but England won it. I think his name's Gay from Chelsea. Yeah, I know.
Do you remember when he signed, who was the Spanish midfielder who had won like the under 20 World Cup or something?
Jose Campana. Campana. Yeah, he played like two games. So that was Pardew's fault. He was a good player.
Yeah, Pardew fucked it.
Signed Conor Gallagher on loan from Chelsea. He's had good loan spells at West Brom last year, Swansea the year before. We signed, I forget his name, I think it's Anderson. He played for Fulham last
Joaquin
season.
Joaquin Anderson.
Yeah, from Lille.
Oh. Lyon.
Lyon, sorry.
Is he the defender?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did well.
Yeah, exactly. He was decent. He was one of their good players last year.
He might feature.
Okay.
He might feature.
He might feature.
And we done another Eze transfer where we got the, I think he's a left winger. Again, don't know how to pronounce his name. Olisi, I think, from Reading. Okay. Another young, pacey player to basically replace Townsend.
Okay.
And then we're re-signing the likes of Joel Ward, Klein. We still got Kiate. So, like, there's still the kind of shell, but we just dabbled in young players. And I get people's saying, oh, we're going to go straight down and inexperienced bust, but we'll see. I've never been more hopeful for the start of the season.
Really?
Wow.
Never have been. Because it's exactly, you remember, right? In the past few years, I've always been like, it's the project, you know?
Yeah.
We're pumping loads of money into the youth squad. All of our friendlies have had the graduates from the under-18s and the under-23s on the bench. That doesn't mean that they're going to play, but it means they're going to be in the squad. And surely that's a good indicator if you're building players through. Because Palace have done well to have young players, but there's only been one or two, and they've usually moved on. Sean Scannell-esque.
Ah, yes.
You know? You either get a Sean Scannell or you get a Wilfried Zaha, and that's how it's been for us. Whereas now they're all coming through, and they're not world beaters, but they're just good players. So.
Okay, I admire your optimism.
Yeah, I mean, it's dashed when we played Chelsea first game of the season, like, but
sure, they're frauds. Exactly. As we've discussed.
As we've stated. Yeah.
Exactly. Palace are going to be the first team to just put them on the demise.
You could show up the European champions first game of the season.
Can you imagine, yeah.
With a bunch of 17-year-olds.
Our first four or five games are London derbies, too. Yeah.
Well.
We have a really bad start, but look, in Patrick I trust.
Hmm. Well, I wish you all the best. I don't share your optimism, but
no, that's fair. I don't believe people will, but you know, when you talk about club identity, Palace's club identity is to be like, you wrote us off and we love it. So
nice.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we dwelt on Palace for a long time there now, so I'm happy to change topic to another successful team if there are any that we can think of. But sorry,
I'm glad you mentioned that.
So predictions are, sorry, just to keep tabs on this. Chelsea not gonna do good this year. Liverpool will regain themselves.
Yeah.
Palace will win the league. Okay.
Okay.
The top
five. Will we do a top four? Will we do a top four?
Yeah. Let's do a top four. Because I see a lot of Leicester in a lot of top four predictions.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, Leicester are funny. Vardy's another year older.
Yeah. Closer to the grave.
Yeah.
And he'll die young. Like.
Oh, he will, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He has to keep playing football. Very second true. He doesn't,
yeah,
he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
he'll die young.
I don't think he'll die this season, though.
Not this season. He has a few goals in him yet.
He has a few goals. But,
like, every time he scores a goal, his life gets extended by 3 months.
He's literally playing for his life.
It's like, oh my God, what's the name of the film with the bus?
Groundhog Day.
No,
Speed,
yeah. It's basically like football speed.
Name of the bus. The movie with the bus that's going really fast.
Because I was thinking of the Father Ted episode.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the bus that can't slow down.
Yeah, I mean, Leicester, a decent team, a good manager. Do I think they'll feature?
They might.
Like, they're there to pick up the scraps like they did last season.
Yeah.
They pick up the scraps, and that's when they do well. When Leicester do very well, and other teams who should be doing well and should be doing better flop around place, like Arsenal and other teams, United. Where did they even finish? They finished, like, second, was it?
It didn't even count, like, they just didn't win.
Anyway, I wouldn't be too mad about Leicester. Other teams will recover their form. They'll be back where they deserve to be.
Yeah.
And Leicester will be where they deserve to be.
Which is to be decided.
In the, like, the also ran section.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Leicester had their chance and they bottled it. Rodgers, again, proving he's just a big bottler. I think I said that at the end of last season as well.
I rate Rodgers.
Well, you shouldn't.
Based on the evidence.
Yeah, I agree. I think they've probably missed their window. Because even though I don't think... I mean, a lot hinges on Harry Kane playing for Spurs or not. But, like, under Nuno Espirito Santo, Spurs might be different. I don't, again, Wolves were just dire. Like, I admired them doing well that first season when they came up and they shocked people, but, like, really crap football. So Spurs are kind of going to get that, but they might be a little bit more solid than they've been, which has been their letdown.
Thought that about Mourinho.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, the easy one is who's going to win the league?
You know, you just...
Yeah?
No.
You had me going for a second.
I mean, if City sign Grealish and Kane, there's no catching.
Yeah, I can't see City not winning it if that happens. I think depending on circumstances, because we saw last year anything can happen, right? I think it's between, I'll say Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because you all back fit and firing.
Except Van Dijk.
Well, you know, and what? Gomez. You got to be positive too. But I think there'll be... So, Liverpool, Chelsea, United, and City are four that have a chance of winning the league. I don't really think anyone else does.
Okay.
What?
We'll see how the transfer window goes.
Yeah, Patrick Vieira's got a few weeks left.
But, like, it pains me to say United, but... Look, I think they overachieved last year, but they've built on that overachievement by signing two pretty good players. I hope they both bomb. I do. And I hope Fernandes starts to bomb. And I hope Rashford misses the whole season. And all these things.
They're riddled with COVID too. They have no responsible leaders. They're all licking lampposts.
Yeah, they're dirty fucks.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't even think Sancho is that good. If I'm honest, I don't. But I think Varane is a good signing.
Yeah, I've literally never seen him play it.
I think they'll improve United. I actually think United will be better than last year. But we forget that it was a one-horse race last year. And a lot of the bigger challengers had patchy seasons. And United themselves had a patchy start.
They did.
Come on.
So, but they had a patchy finish as well.
They had a patchy finish.
Yeah, and they got slaughtered by Spurs last season.
That was at the start. Yeah, it was like 6-1.
At home.
And Palace...
Yeah,
two home games. Their first two home games, they got bad. Like they conceded 9 goals.
Yeah, they got done in
against Brighton. Wasn't there a game against Brighton that they were absolutely played off the park? And scraped it.
The VAR penalties. Yeah. And, look, I think
that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Sorry, I'll never forget Brighton game.
Yeah.
Where they got a penalty after the game finished.
Yeah.
It's never been seen or done before. The game has ended. Actually. I think it's I actually think Chelsea are going to do well this year to kind of go against
have they signed anyone? I know they signed so many players last year.
They're looking to sign Koundé from Sevilla. They're trying to swap Zuma for him. I don't know, will they get him? He's a centre back.
Yeah, I think if they carry on their form for the second half of last season, like, it's natural to put them in the mix for winning it.
But they were very lucky to get fourth. Yeah, Liverpool finished ahead of Chelsea, which is ridiculous when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they won the Champions League, but like you said, it was...
Yeah.
Exactly. We could all do that.
Yeah.
Anyone going to fucking knock your tournament,
Even the Italians.
Yeah. Yeah, look how far England got.
Well, I do think, just to kind of circle in the whole Euros as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it says a lot that, you know, regardless of what your opinions are of the England team or the England players or England fans or whatever, England have now, in two consecutive tournaments, got to a semi-final and a final. And the teams or the players, the teams that the players have come from were all semi-finalists or finalists in the European trophies.
Hmm.
You know, Chelsea, City, Arsenal and United made up the bones of the England squad.
I do think that England team has a brighter future than the Italian team.
Oh, yeah.
Put it that way.
Like, I mean, the core of that Italian team, Bonucci, Chiellini.
Yeah.
They're gone in a way. Like,
they are. But the thing with Italy is that they seem to just have that horrible tournament and then just get to finals for all the others.
Mm-hmm. It's in their culture.
It is. It's in their blood.
I mean, to be fair, actually, Donnarumma, Locatelli, Barella, a few others, even Jorginho and Verratti aren't that old yet.
Well, Jorginho's, he's lost it.
Yeah. But even your man Chiesa, he's young.
He's tidy enough.
He's been linked to
a few clubs. I looked at him and I said, I've never heard of this side. He's fair good. Yeah. You're good now.
Look, the player.
Yeah. I'll tell you something.
A pretty penny.
Try it sometime. So the Italians are built to win. It's in their sauce.
But England, they're getting there. They're semi-finalists, no finalists. You think next time, are they going to win the World Cup?
It's hard to say.
It's probably their culture to lose, though.
It is.
Yeah.
They're the Spurs of the international stage.
Really. They really are.
Just need to change the colours. Stop wearing white. Just put on like sky blue shirts.
And why do they wear white when their flag is fucking mostly red and blue?
It's white and red in England.
Oh, yeah.
But that said, the away kit was blue, so.
Yeah.
Never wore it, though.
Should they have a clue what they're at?
No.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you don't play a serial winner like Jordan Henderson.
He might feature, though. So I think that there's going to be a bit of bounce back from that England defeat, though. I think Sterling had a wonderful tournament. He could come out the
I've always caps rated Sterling.
You have in Venice.
Is he out the door, though?
He might be if Grealish signs. I mean, well, you wouldn't know
what he was Pep is thinking. He was being dangled out to others.
Pep is...
I tell you, Liverpool should snap that up.
Yep.
Should I agree. Snap that up. Bring him back. The other one, then, too, is Saka. I think Saka has a season where it's like a redemption arc. Do you remember when Rooney got sent off?
Oh, this is it.
Against Portugal.
This is it.
And he was booed by fans. Saka might face some of that. And you know what he'll do? He'll take that boyish grin and he'll stick it in the back of
it's
net.
It's time to become a man now.
Yeah,
this season.
That's it.
It's like enough of the fucking rainbow unicorn floaty ring or whatever it was.
This is your first shave.
Exactly.
With disposable Gillette razors.
It was a character building moment for the young fella.
Yeah. And the ball's on him, in fairness, to step up. Little fucking Grealish there.
Hiding.
But did you not see that he said after, I was happy to take a penalty, but the manager chose the penalty.
Yeah, well, everyone can say that. Like, I was happy to take the penalty too, but the manager didn't pick me.
I was happy to take it.
Yeah, because we're all here harping on about how a good player Grealish is, right? The fucker should be playing for Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And Declan Rice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And Harry Kane.
Have you heard...
And Jamie Carragher.
All of them.
And Harry Maguire.
Mike Keown.
But have you heard that thing that it was like, I don't know, was it West Germany or something? The manager, if they got into a penalty shootout, he had the players picked and told them where to put it.
Really?
So like before the game, Kieran, you're going to be taking a penalty if we go to penalties and you go bottom right. Connor, you're going to be taking one, you go top left.
That's actually a good
idea.
And
takes the pressure off the players.
Yeah,
because why they don't all to fucking do that? Yeah.
No
and
decision
then,
making.
And then the manager could come out after and say, yeah, I told him where to put it.
It's the influence that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's having on the game. It's gone to the dogs.
Gone to the dogs. I gave my top four. Are you going to disagree with it?
No.
Oh, no?
No, well, not really.
Well, I didn't put it in order.
Oh, right.
I just said those would be my top four.
So you said United, City, Liverpool, Chelsea.
Yes.
Okay.
I think City, Liverpool, United, Arsenal.
In that order?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, interesting.
I think, yeah.
Not... This is on record now. We're recording, you know.
Look, fuck it. No one's going to call me out on this.
Please clip this and we'll keep it forever.
Yeah, I think...
Years from now, I'm going for presidency. Like, They're like, he said this. He thought Arsenal were going to finish top four in 2022.
And I have never in my life said anything about Arsenal in the top four. But I will say this. For me, yeah, not too different. I think in this order, probably City, Liverpool, United, Chelsea.
Oh.
Yeah, I'd probably go with that as well. With, honestly, the top three interchanging in any order.
Yeah. It's how they fall.
Yeah.
It's all injuries. See, if United get Maguire out for nine months, let's see how they do against Villa.
Yeah. And I know pre-season this season is particularly up in the air. I don't know about your clubs, but I know that Liverpool are doing like 30-minute friendlies and things.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Yeah, Palace are playing Charlton, like rivals, and Watford. We're playing Watford next weekend, the weekend before the Premier League starts. We're playing Watford, but it's all about COVID.
You know, I forgot that they were back in the Premier League. No, I realized
let them go
today. Yeah. I'm so angry.
I think of a car park when I think of Watford.
I think of six stands. Yeah. They have six stands. They're the only club that has a square pitch with rectangle pitch with six stands. Everyone else has four. They have six because they can't join them together.
What do you mean?
They have two like separate stands. You know how like you'd have the rectangle like that? You'd have stand.
Yeah.
They have stand. It's bollocks. Well, they may have changed it, but that's what I remember them for.
They should have car park.
To flip it though, for relegation.
Okay.
For me, Newcastle. Watford. And I wanna make a brave call.
Palace.
I'd like to see Norwich. Yeah, I know. I'd like to see Norwich stay up, but it's probably gonna be Norwich. But I'd also like Burnley. I think Burnley's time is up. So I'm gonna say Burnley. There we go.
Oh, have we turned on Sean Dyche?
Not for his coaching mentality, but for the crock of shite he has as a team.
Look, I always said it about the fella. He's punching. He is. fair play to him for, you know, they held on to him when they got relegated and he got him back up and he finished mid-table. But that's as far as he'll go.
I think he'll go no further. I think he's one of the top five managers in the league.
He's like the metalwork teacher that punches lads and don't tell their parents.
You would have said that about Tony Pulis a few years ago.
I probably would. Yeah, 100%. But he's like a platinum version of Tony Pulis.
Platinum Pulis.
So who do you think is getting relegated then?
Hopefully Watford. Probably Norwich, just because that's what they do. Mm. And I think Palace could be in trouble.
Okay.
I do. I'm sorry. I don't want to be like, oh, Palace are fucked. But like, geez, when I look at the situation, Southampton aren't great either.
No. But I don't not to disagree. I absolutely see why people are touting Palace for it. I do, but I just don't see the situation we're in. I think we've gained more than we've lost. Is losing Sacco, who didn't play a game last year, a bad thing?
Mm.
Is it Hodgson? Is it the Hodgson?
It's like who are you going to rely on this season though to get the job done?
Benteke.
Right, you're getting relegated though.
But like. But job done in what way? You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. It's more than one way to win a game.
You know what? I was looking through the table there. Teams that could be in trouble. Brentford. Sure, we don't know what they're going to be like.
We don't know what they're at.
Brighton are always down there. Burnley. Norwich are probably a shoo-in to get relegated. And then Watford and Wolves. Wolves? You don't know what they're going to be like.
Oh, yeah. They might be selling a lot of players.
Yeah. Wolves. And
because of the agent changes, right?
And Villa as well, without Grealish, could bomb.
I fucking hope so. After they were like, oh, we got Buendia. And Arsenal wanted Buendia. But we got him because we're fucking a bigger club. Yeah. Like, let's see how you do this season, lads. Wait till Man City come knocking there for Jack Grealish. Yeah, let's see how big you are.
My only issue is all those teams, I think of their like squad, and it's better than Palace. So maybe Vieira can pull it out of the bag. I'm going to leave them out my bottom three.
Include them if you think it's right, because look, this is all recorded. So okay. That's the beauty of it.
I think Norwich... See, as shit as I think Steve Bruce is, I think he's just not shit enough to be able to keep them up.
But how is Newcastle's squad better than Palace's?
I could probably name more of their players.
I could name more of their players, yeah.
That's not a good reason.
Because any Palace player that I think is a Palace player, they're released. So, I think Watford will step. I actually think Wolves, maybe. I think Wolves, Norwich, and Brentford.
Pussy. Say it.
I'm on your side here.
Yeah, thank you. I'll remember this when Liverpool are
floundering
around the place.
I fucking didn't say Palace. Do you want me to say Palace?
If that's what you feel, I want you to be honest, Adrian.
I don't know. See, I feel like Brentford will be the new Leeds, you know?
Yeah. I think Leeds might be the new Sheffield United.
I don't know. Bielsa's a bit of a different kettle of fish there, I think.
Is
the Bielsa ball. I believe in Bielsa ball.
I was looking at I kept an eye on Brentford. I've kept an eye on Brentford ever since I found out about the Moneyball thing, like with Watkins and the rest. And it's kind of cool, but that's also the drawback to Brentford is that you look at their squad and you're like, bunch of fucking no ones. But that's what makes them good.
Yeah.
It's just the Ivan Toney everyone knows. And he'll go if they stay up, or he'll go anyway if they get relegated.
Yeah.
And that team just switches over so quickly. But the manager's a bit mad, so...
Who's the manager again?
I don't know his name, but he's, again...
A bit like mad.
Bielsa. He's a bit like Bielsa too, where it's just a bit like, you know, I have
doing a... squat.
He doesn't squat. He has long hair, and he gets a bit excited with himself.
Okay. They've done well to replace strikers over the years.
Yes. And that Moneyball system, it seems to work.
Mm.
Maybe what Palace are doing this year with all the under-17 World Cup winners we have.
Maybe.
Maybe what Arsenal are doing this season, buying
Ben White
everyone for 50 million plus or whatever.
Yeah. They depreciate as soon as they step in the Emirates. It's like, oh, 5 million gone.
That is such a testament to the English player tax.
Yeah,
Ben White for 50 million. Fuck me.
I mean, Grealish, 100 million.
I know, yeah. But to be fair, Grealish is probably the best player in the league.
Yeah.
But there are
top five.
But even last year, people were talking about buying Ben White a lot. Like, because he was on loan
at
Leeds. And there was offers of like 20 million for him.
Yeah.
And they rejected.
Really salty that they didn't get him back.
Yeah.
And Brighton kept him.
Brighton kept him and they were right. Yeah.
They were dead right. Jesus.
Yeah. It's quite funny too because I think from a fantasy football perspective anyway, with Brighton's like opening fixtures and somewhat defensive stability like last season, they were being like a popular pick. But now Ben White's gone. The keeper got injured in the friendly today and that Lamptey is out for another few more weeks. So they really are down to the bare bones. They want to be spending that 50 million quick anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, Lewis Dunk.
Bring back Shane Duffy.
Shane Duffy, yeah, Jesus. Man. He's making a fool of himself in Scotland.
Yeah, falling over the ball and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Never played football before.
Was it? God, for fuck's sake. What haven't we covered? I think we've covered a lot. The top table, the bottom half, Palace's football mentality.
Jeez, yeah, there ain't a whole lot of stuff to cover before the season starts.
Talk about anti-vaxxers then, won't we?
Oh, yeah, you heard that, baby.
You're onto a lot of anti-vaxxers, so are you?
Well, they're onto me.
So, what we should clarify is, I'm okay with someone not getting the vaccine. If someone doesn't want to get the vaccine, I absolutely understand it, actually, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's their choice. I think it's a tough road to go down,
yeah,
the way it's going, but that's their choice. For someone to be spreading fucking shit, scaring people into getting a vaccine, that's where the issue is.
Yeah, that always will be the issue.
Yeah.
Is that you can silently reject a vaccine or not take one. And that's what gets my back.
Yeah.
Is when there is no source, it's just a picture on Facebook, a load of text saying, like even to quote the one today, oh, she took the vaccine on Thursday, and by Saturday, she was having blood clots in the brain and died on Sunday. That is not connected.
It's like, she took a vaccine, and the next day, she died in a car crash.
Yeah, that's it. That Ajax player, that youth Ajax player, died in the car crash today. I didn't read that and say, fuck it, not getting in the car again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just so dumb. But, look, people's choices. It's but, just if they're respectful of the other side, that's the only thing that annoys me.
And they're not doing it in a everyone watch out kind of way. Like I'm here for your benefit. Mm. It's this literal like if people are like, look, we're genuinely worried about this and it looks like there's a problem here. That's not the way it's been done. It's like, hey, sheeple.
Yeah.
Stop getting fucking vaccinated because it's bad. It's shit and you're stupid. It's like, what's your benefit here? Are you just here to be seen?
It's the same tactics that other right wing ideologies use. You know, everyone who's Muslim is a terrorist. Or why? Because you share a video of a terrorist attack, or you share a picture of a Muslim man in the north of England that was convicted paedophile, even though being a paedophile isn't, you know, connected to religion or any particular race. It's just very easy to do that, right? Yeah. And if you keep plugging away at people, you get them rabble-roused. Because that's all it is. It's absolute propaganda. You know, they say all this stuff about the scamdemic.
Yeah.
They're causing it.
It's like, how do they benefit from it, though? Because, like, someone must be making money off these people somehow.
They definitely are. Because if you look at America as an example, and the right-wing commentators, so the pro-Trump ones, they had Patreon. They were like, oh, keep sponsoring so I don't get censored. Yeah. That's their line.
Yeah.
It's like, pay me so that they can't keep me quiet.
It's like, I like how Trump was considered like an anti-establishment president for like people.
Yeah.
Like this fucking billionaire white fella from New York who had the backing of Fox News, the biggest station in America. It's like, he's really going to tear down the establishment.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he's going to stick it to the man. Even though he's the fucking man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that got me... look, it doesn't get me worked up. It just makes me want to...
I know, it will get you worked up. Because, like, you got to deal with this shit every day with these people. I mean, we live with the pandemic. It's like our daily life at the moment. And you got to hear these people going on about it. Like,
especially to vulnerable people. Yeah. If that was to, like, us as a group of lads, right? First response would just be like, fuck off.
Just take a walk.
But when it's to like people that you know, just think of your parents, just think of your grandparents. Like, they're not with it as much as we are. Mm. They don't see through the lines. That's how people like Trump got elected. And that's what pisses me off. Mm. It's not to say to people that they can't vote that way or, you know, make decisions that way. It's just when it's completely false, it kind of rattles my gear stick.
Yeah. It's like if you press, it's like you can vote for whoever you want, and then as long as you just press them on like one question of why, and then it turns into an argument, you're like, okay.
There we go. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you think? Because in the NFL, American football, and in the NBA, I think the NBA anyway, there's a big push now with the season starting that the teams have to be fully vaccinated. And if they don't get vaccinated, they ain't playing. And it's a safety thing.
Yeah.
But there are these outspoken athletes that refuse it. So there's a bit of controversy going on. Like, who do you think in the Premier League would fit into an anti-vaccination mindset? What kind of player?
Jamie Vardy,
yeah, that's a good one.
I was going to say McLean, but he's actually...
he's probably dumb enough to be doing that.
But he's not even Premier League.
Sorry, we said good players.
I've noticed that, like, a lot of these people, they pop up where you don't expect them, from people you don't expect to say this stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, they walk among us. Like, they could be fucking anyone believes this stuff. Like, you could just be talking to someone you've known for years, and they'll just start talking about how, like... So, I just think this COVID thing's a big scam.
Yeah.
and I'm just there like, oh gosh.
Yeah, and it can get to anyone. Because that's the way it comes out, isn't it? It's that you just... It's just a video, or it's just a post.
And it'll get you, yeah.
Yeah, because it's what it's designed to do.
When I was really young, like, probably, like, 13 or something, I was watching Sky One, and they had a documentary on about, like, 9/11 conspiracy theories or something.
Yeah.
And your man Alex Jones was on it and everything. And, like, I watched this fucking pig-ignorant 13-year-old. By the end of it, I was convinced, it was a fucking Illuminati conspiracy. They portrayed it as like a legitimate documentary, as if this was like fact, and I just got so worked by these people. Yeah. And like, I could see how anyone, if you just don't know much, or you just don't care, and you just see this thing, and it's like a pretty appealing story, They're like, oh my god, it was a conspiracy all along.
I'll tell you this, we're all baptized. That says enough that you can fool anyone to do anything.
I know, in fairness.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, Jamie Vardy, definitely, I think. Because you think of the opposite, like Marcus Rashford is definitely believes in the vaccine, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's people not happy too because they want fully vaccinated people in stadiums now, whereas when it was announced initially, it was like, you know, people can just come back.
Yeah.
And I get why people think that that's kind of like, you know, targeting them too.
Yeah.
You know, or you have to be fully vaccinated. That's gonna annoy people that are ready to return and not take a vaccine.
Maybe it's my ignorance, but like, if I think of, okay, 50,000 people in a stadium, and if 5,000 aren't vaccinated, isn't it really only those 5,000 that are at risk?
Well,
like, isn't that kind of their choice to just be at risk?
Well, your America was quite fast to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
In terms of like the rollout.
Yeah.
There are vaccinated people getting COVID, so catching it and getting the symptoms from it. So that's a risk too, that those 5,000 are giving it to
vaccinated people
that can still get sick. But then you're thinking, because there's a YouTuber I watch, he's like mid-30s. He got vaccinated, like fully vaccinated, 2 doses. Yeah, yeah, got COVID there recently, and he said he was out of it, like with like what felt like a really strong head cold for like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing he said out, it came out of it, he's like, still just be careful because, you know, I can only imagine what the real unvaccinated COVID felt like.
Yeah.
I know what this felt like, but I also am an able-bodied 30-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how my mother would have reacted to it. So I think that's the health like recommendation still. And and that's the thing. It's going back to these fucking nut jobs that really pissed me off earlier, is that it's not you. I'm not taking the vaccine for myself. I'm not wearing a mask for myself. Yeah. It's for the people that will get hurt from it.
Yeah,
and exactly. People just don't have that mindset.
I know. That's why like I was in fucking lockdown for, 7 or 8 months, like not going anywhere, not doing anything. Because like me getting COVID wouldn't be the biggest end of the world. I know. It could fuck me up, definitely. Yeah. I could die from it. But it's like, it's because people around me who would be way more vulnerable, I'm like, I'm just not going to, you know, stay at home for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Look, people's patience is going to run out now when we've had like well over a year and there's still like in the media about more lockdowns and stuff. Like, of course. But just get over it.
Yeah.
Just get over it. Honestly.
Just get the jab.
Yeah, I can't say it any other way. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
Just fucking deal with it. If you don't want to get it, don't get it. But then just deal with it.
We're all vaccinated, are we?
Yeah.
50% of the way there.
50%.
Shit, you got to cut that because you're not meant to be here.
In like
what are you talking about? We're on Zoom right now.
Oh, yeah. That's why our sound is so good.
Yeah. Micheál Martin has fucking mingled with his family and friends for the past year.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. Yeah,
like Leo just.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everyone I know has at least one vaccine.
Yeah, they're doing walk-in vaccines in Clan now.
For like 16-year-olds as well. Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And
crazy good.
This is the part, like, again, I don't really feel necessary for it, but they're even doing the kind of like beta tests on like younger children now for getting vaccines as well. So
I heard like America, because America is like just the richest country, so they were full of vaccine. Like they had enough. They were not short of vaccines. And like I heard stories about how people would be in like shopping malls there and people would be making announcements over the speaker system saying, we have vaccines at this shop, you know, whatever, come here to get vaccinated if you want it. Because, like, the uptake just wasn't that high. That, like, they had enough to do the whole country. But people weren't going. Yeah. So, like, anyone could have walked. This is months ago.
Yeah.
Anyone could have just walked in off the street. They were grabbing people off the street saying, do you want a vaccine? Do you want a vaccine? We'll give it to you right now. Just give it to you. And, I mean, Ireland's actually done okay, I think, altogether for vaccine uptake and stuff compared to a lot of countries.
Now faster rollout or... more coverage than the UK now.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy considering how quick they started.
Yeah, and how long it's been going on for. But again, it's
like nearly a month.
It's true. Like when I was in Poland, it was just like, yeah, we finished the rollout. It's just the people that, like, it's what, 75% of the country is vaccinated.
Yeah, we can't get the other 25. We can't do anything about it.
They're either under 18 or they're just not doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of light at the end of the tunnel, but then you get these fucking idiots still that will probably prolong it, but hey.
I mean, we're probably stuck with COVID forever from now on, in some form.
Yeah.
It's around forever, just like the flu or whatever.
Yeah.
So, happy days.
We're going to lose so many listeners now. Like,
do you know?
Like, our whole fan base is probably...
We've never spoken about COVID, yeah.
We haven't, actually.
No.
Well, we might not include it then.
No, it's because it's... Because we're out the other end of it now. We're back in person.
We're coming back into normality to an extent. And, what was I going to say? Oh, man, I just went blank. Sorry.
Just living with COVID. I mean, I think get used to masks, get used to sanitizing. But...
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that. Like, I didn't mind the odd lockdown.
Yeah.
A lockdown for like a month or something, you know.
I think it was a good reset. The only thing I will say is that, and maybe this doesn't apply to all of us, like, but the only thing I will say is that I had no issue with them because I was occupied, because I had work.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was like for single people in like a shared accommodation with no work.
Yeah.
That must have been a bit shy.
That was probably a killer.
So, I mean, circumstance was important, but yeah, I agree. I didn't mind it at all.
I live in like a rural area, so like lockdown for me was like...
Just a Tuesday.
I could just walk around like a mile and not meet anyone in a circle. But like if I was living in a city in an apartment and it's like, you can't leave your apartment, I would probably have been cracking up.
Yeah, yeah. And then you think in Dublin too, where it's a bit more condensed and the population is like twice... Yeah. Oh, well, don't live in Dublin, I say.
Here.
Yeah, I think we should call this episode Jab On.
Jab On.
Jab On.
Jab On.
Yeah. And Oli is a fraud.
Didn't work out for him. One of the podcasts this season will be called Didn't Work Out For Him. And it's when Oli gets sacked.
Oh, very good. In the back pocket.
Also, Kanate is an absolute unit.
Right.
Just to let you know.
The Liverpool signing, is it?
Big, big boy.
Who will do better, so Konate or Ben White? We'll see at the end of the season.
That's the real battle. It's going to be Arteta versus Lampard versus
Arteta. They're similar enough prices, aren't they?
36.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Bargain.
Shit.
Yes. Give him 50.
Got him at the pound shop.
50.
Fine.
Yeah, he won't play as much.
Will he not?
Depends on Van Dijk and Gomez.
I mean, he'd
let's not go back to
Liverpool. He's ahead of Gomez, surely.
No. He's only like 22.
All right, well, we'll see.
Imagine if England had Gomez and Trent Alexander-Arnold for the Euros.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
Same as Liverpool.
And a Callum Chambers, maybe.
And a Kieran Tierney.
And a Kieran that's a big Kieran Tierney in there.
Just slipping him in. He counts.
His passport says British.
Yeah, this is it. Cool. We leave it at that?
Yeah.
There we go.
Let's wrap her up.
The end of our first
back
in person, COVID-friendly, jabbed up podcast.
And I ain't saying any more about that.
Yeah.
Except to say...
Jab on.
I never took vaccines from anybody in my life. Favorite friend.
We'll prepare and we'll go and we'll do our best. We'll put them under pressure.